I speak to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. There's a lot of calling going on in our scripture today. God calling to Samuel, Jesus calls Philip, Philip calls Nathanael, Jesus then talks to Nathanael about call. And in the Episcopal Church, we often have a problem with call because we erroneously believe that it's for those of us who are called to ordained life. We hear a call, we go off to seminary, and poof, we're faithful to God, and we continue our life happily, merrily as clergy, only it is nowhere that simple. For one thing, talk to any ordained person, and they or we will tell you a story, or probably story upon story, of someone who helped us understand our unique call. And often, without those people being bold and brave to tell a future deacon or priest or bishop, hey, I sense something in you that you may not yet see, or you might see and not be paying attention to, because the person might have denied the Spirit's prompting in their own heart, discounting it as foolishness, and yet when others are present, it changes. You see, each of us, each and every single one of us, as God's created child, has call within us. Now, whether that call leads into a new ministry or has us lifting up someone else, the Spirit is moving in us all the time, calling you and me, us as a community, to action. It's how God works in our world. It's how God works in creation. And in fact, I'm proud to say that our diocese, our region, is working hard to make sure that we understand that call isn't just about clergy. Call is about listening for each person to what God is calling them to do with their God-given gifts. And if you want to know more about that, see Cameron after the service. She didn't know I was giving her a commercial today. But the call story of Samuel I especially love. I could have spent my whole sermon just talking you through all the great points of that story. But I love the story for one of the reasons I love it is it reminds us there is no age restriction on being called into service by God. It's a small boy whose mother Hannah gave him over at birth to be raised in the temple and eventually would be a priest serving in the temple. And this young boy, who just follows and does what he is told, is sleeping, and God calls to him. And Samuel thinks it's the head priest, Eli, who wasn't doing such a hot job as a priest at the time, but that's a whole other story. So he goes to Eli and he says, Eli, what is it that you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. And then it happens a second time. And then it happens a third time, because sometimes that's how it is with call. It takes us a while to figure it out. And so on the third time, when Samuel goes to Eli, Eli figures out what's going on, and he realizes it is God. And so Eli tells Samuel, when God comes and speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel does as Eli tells him, and God calls one more time, and Samuel responds, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I love this opening line from God. See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. It's a little reminder that God's call sometimes can be both thrilling and frightening. In the morning, Eli then calls Samuel and demands that Samuel tell Eli everything, even if it's bad news, which Eli had already figured out that was probably happening if God was speaking to Samuel and not him. But Samuel, and I can't imagine doing this as, I don't know, a 6 or 8 year old child, Samuel gives Eli the bad news. that he's out, that Eli's out and Samuel is in. The story reminds us that it takes courage to follow our call. It takes courage because it means a shift in how we live our lives. It may mean giving up some comfort. It may mean a change in how we understand God working in the world. But I emphasize again, note that Samuel did not get this call by himself. It took others, namely Eli, who wasn't even in good favor with God. And Eli is the one who helped Samuel discern how to listen to what God was calling forth from him. Then we get to the gospel, and you have Philip and Nathanael. And it's a little bit different, and yet Jesus finds, calls Philip, and tells him, follow me. It was an easy one. Philip got up and followed him, but then finds his friend Nathanael and says, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. You got to come. And Nathanael, just like Samuel, doesn't get it at first. And I love Nathanael's questioning, that almost sarcastic, really? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says, yes, come and see. He invites Nathanael into this call. And then Jesus sees Nathanael coming towards him, and Jesus says, here, truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And that just sets Nathanael back a pace. And he's like, oh, where did you get to know me, sir? Again, Nathanael just doesn't jump in blindly with blind faith. He questions. He doesn't understand at first. He doesn't see at first. He doesn't hear at first. And yet, in his questioning, he comes closer to the truth. So when Jesus explains how he knew Nathanael, Nathanael suddenly exclaims, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. These two rich call stories come on the very weekend where we commemorate the life and the work of Martin Luther King Jr., who was a person in our own time, who was clearly called by God. And we know this not only from Dr. King's own writings, but from those who have written about him. His call was not easy. Quite frankly, he just wanted to go be a Baptist preacher in his church. And yet he was called again and again and again by the community to lead the civil rights movement. And Martin is a great example. We don't necessarily always like the call that is given to us, and yet sometimes the call is so undeniable that those around us continue to call it out until it eventually makes its way into our own heart. God's call to Martin Luther King wasn't just in Dr. King's heart. It was evident in the hearts and the minds and the words of those who surrounded him. They were the voices that called him to follow his call to lead others. They're the voices that had their own courage in the face of overwhelming power to remain true to following the God of mercy, justice, and love and hope with relentless devotion to their call. I appreciate the readings on this weekend as it reminds us sitting here or watching at home that God is still calling you and me today. God's calling people to action isn't an act of the past. It's not something that just happened in the Old and New Testament. God calls us even now. Dr. King could not have been an effective leader if God had not called thousands and thousands to have the courage to follow God's call, to work with Dr. King, to fulfill God's dream of equality for all God's people. Yes, even today, each and every one of us is called by God to do our part. To do our part to bring about God's promise of mercy and justice and hope and love to the world around us. For each of us is called by God again and again in our lifetime. God's call is an ongoing invitation to have the courage to follow God's hope for a more just society where the dignity of every human being is truly respected. In preparing our hearts to be ready to respond to God's call, for it nearly almost always comes out of the blue and catches us unaware, we would do well to take a page from Samuel and Nathaniel, for they both remind us to listen, to refrain from denying the sound of God's voice calling our name, to listen to those who are naming a call perhaps in our own lives, for God really does use messengers. As we commemorate the work of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the man whose work brought an end to segregation, and whose work we are all called to continue, think about this. By our baptism, we are marked as Christ's own, which means we are all to live a called life. Meaning God can and will call us into action at any moment. And sometimes we may just be the messenger affirming someone else's call, but even then those are bold words to speak. And sometimes you may be the person who is being called to work that we feel unequipped to do or truly just don't want to because it is too painful to change our lives. Sometimes, though, we might be called to work that fills us with incitement and joy and helps us grow in our care and love for one another. But no matter the call, as Christ's own, our response is the same. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Followed by, Lord, here I am. Send me. So I'll leave you with the maxim that every seminarian learns and leans into in our moments of doubt. God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. In other words, our job is to say yes and to let God work through us to the best of our God-given abilities. Amen.